The following message was given by brothers Ricky Acosta and Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, March 17, 2019. The title of the message is The Divine Trinity as Revealed in Numbers. Scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
O Lord, and anoint our ears.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see you,
Amen.
Experience you,
Amen.
And love you,
Amen.
As the triune God.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
We look to you.
Amen.
You are everything to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, this week, we have as the subject, the triune God, the Trinity. My goodness, that's not an easy subject, is it? Well, we want to see how crucial the triune God is. Do you realize that the triune aspect of the triune God is one of God's most important attributes? Oh my goodness, attributes. I know that God is love, God is holiness, God is righteousness, etc., 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 but triune is an attribute. We want to tell you this morning, the Trinity is not for our education. The Trinity is not for our mental gyrations and imaginations.
Amen.
So then what is the Trinity? What is the triune aspect of God? For God to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
If God is not triune, we would not be here. Okay, but we want to see, first of all, that this aspect of God being triune is before creation. So, let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Here we do have the triune God in action. First of all, it says, blessed be the God and Father. God and Father. Of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is before creation. God had already planned that the Lord Jesus would be incarnated. God had already planned for everything that the Lord Jesus went through when he was on earth, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We need to see, without Christ, there is nothing. Even as he chose us in him He chose us in Christ. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. I thought I received the Lord when I received the gospel. Nonsense. Before the world was created, we were chosen. Doesn't that change your attitude? The world caves, the roof caves in. God, how come? How come this happened to me? And we're desperate. We were chosen before the creation of the world. Doesn't that give you peace? The triune God certainly gives us peace. Before we were born, we were already chosen. Isn't this marvelous? And we were chosen to be holy and without blemish before Him in love. That the Lord has to work in us, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. How wonderful! The Father chose us according to the good pleasure of His will. I don't think any of us considers us, himself, herself, that special. We are special. Amen. According to the good pleasure of His will. So saints, when things are hard, when you get sick, when you lose your job, when you lose whatever, remember, you have been chosen before the creation of the world by the triune God. But we need to also see that the triune God operates in a certain way. First of all, the Father operates in the Son. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not involved with us, we have no hope. But not only does the Father operate in the Son, but operates in the Son by the Spirit. We need to remember that in resurrection and ascension, the Lord Jesus became the life giving spirit, which is mingled with our spirit. So, how crucial for us to exercise our spirit. Do you like to exercise your spirit? Probably not, because we need to exercise our whole being to be in spirit. Everything is against the spirit. But how crucial that we can exercise our spirit. We want to see an Old Testament view of the Spirit. You're going to say, wait a minute now, the Spirit wasn't there in the Old Testament. Yes, it was. But the people of Israel didn't know Him so much. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 17. Let's read these verses together. And on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And in the evening, it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, Then after that, the children of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel encamped. What? The cloud and the fire were a type of. The cloud and the fire were a type of the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. The people of Israel actually were led by the Spirit, typified by the cloud and the fire. I had never thought of this before, but I thought of it this morning. How did the people of Israel know when to leave? You know, I just thought of it. How was it possible? Somebody must have been looking at the cloud or at the fire. Maybe the Levites were appointed to do this, because when the cloud or the fire moved, they had to move right then and there. You would say, oh, well, so what? So what? What if God wants to do something? What if the Lord wants to do something? And we don't know. So, in our daily living, we need to experience the life-giving Spirit. How? By exercising our spirit. Us who are retired, have time in our hands sometimes. It's a good exercise, Lord. What should I do first? I'm sure we have a list. That is a good exercise. Of course, those who are working have to go to work. Of course, the wives who are cooking dinner have to cook dinner. But whenever you have a free time, Lord, what should I do now? In our morning watch, there's also a good exercise. Lord, what is in your heart concerning me? What do you desire for me? What should I do? And then, during the day, we do many things. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, please guide me. I remember the cloud and the fire. Deliver me from doing things out of myself. Deliver me from going on automatic pilot, but seeking your will by the Spirit. So, saints, I hope by now we realize how crucial is the triune God. How crucial is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That we are able to experience more and more of the Father and the Son in the Spirit, as the Spirit, in our mingled spirit. And Brother Ricky will tell us what happens in Ephesians 3:17. How the Lord is able to make home in our heart. Amen.
You know, saints, our study of the book of Numbers this time is not a sequential chapter by chapter, verse by verse study, like was done in the past, what is now the life study of the book of Numbers. Our study is by major points. This is what we call crystals, right? The big points in the book, and the brothers consider quite with much thoughtfulness, prayer, consideration. What are the major points? What are the major points? And so they dig out these big points. One of them is what we're on this week, the matter of the triune God. And I think maybe some of us were surprised that, oh, how could we have a message on the triune God from the book of Numbers? Where is the triune God? And I think getting into this message helped us to see. Actually, you can see the triune God here. He's hidden. He's hidden here. He's hidden there. Actually, the triune God is really the structure for the entire divine revelation. You can find the triune God. Nearly every book is structured with the triune God. Of course, we read this morning these more famous verses in the New Testament that talk about the triune God. We have the baptism recently of our dear young ones. Of course, we're praying for the new ones that got saved last. Did we have baptisms last night? Any? We were praying for these new ones that got saved, that they would be baptized. And you know, at our baptisms, customarily, when we are there together, either the brothers who are performing the baptism or all of us together, what do we say? We baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Actually, saints, that, well, you know what we're doing? This is a kind of outward affirmation of the fact that this one is now joined to the triune God. They are in an organic union with the triune God. So our Christian life begins with the triune God, right? We're joined to the triune God. Actually, we're put into the triune God, and the triune God is put into us. We are wrapped up with the triune God. Yes, but there's not a section of the word that's a teaching, a systematic teaching on the triune God. He's here, he's there. Actually, he's hidden in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God says what? Let us. That little word us is kind of like a window into the truth of the triune God. And actually, from Genesis to Revelation, we read this, if you went through the verses in the Morning Watch or Morning Revival this week, maybe it was the first verse for Monday. It may have been Revelation chapter 1, talking about him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. What do we have in Revelation? Triune God. So this crystal, this big crystal, this big point, is in the book of Numbers. And actually, I'm not going to get that much into Numbers. I hope by the saints sharing and prophesying, you'll bring out all the points. But we had other messages on the formation of the army, on the encamping together, how they're encamped in an array around the tabernacle. I will come back to this point in a moment. How the service of the priests, the Levites and the priests, and how today in the New Testament, actually these are joined. So we don't have two categories of serving ones. We're all the serving ones. And every practical service in the church is a spiritual service. We got into these points. We got into the point of the Lord's love for us, and that he's jealous over his people. He's jealous over his people. And then we touched the matter of the Nazirite vow. Staying away from the worldly enjoyment, staying away from spiritual death so that we could serve the Lord. So we are now actually at the halfway point. The messages that we're getting into, there are 12, and today we conclude. This is number 6. So we're halfway through. So my burden is to share maybe more of an overall word. There's just something in my heart. So I'm not. I will touch a little bit of the matter of the triune God, but in a moment. You know, saints, in Matthew chapter 7, I think most of us are familiar with this portion of the word. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Lord's speaking. And the Lord speaks, actually, nearly the entire of the three chapters is all the speaking of the Lord Jesus. Some of you may be able to relate to this. When I was baptized, my sister gave me my first new Bible, and it was a red letter edition. I think some of us are familiar with the red letter edition. That means all the words spoken by the Lord Jesus are in red. So when it says, "And Jesus said," that's in black because Jesus didn't say that. "And Jesus said," comma, even the comma's in black. And, you know, "I am the way." From there, red. So if you open to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, red. All Jesus speaking. And it is what we call the constitution of the kingdom. The constitution of the kingdom. But at the end of all this speaking, he gives a very particular conclusion. I know most of us are familiar with it, especially the children's meeting teachers, because we have a song to this. It's a little parable. And he says, "He who hears my word and does them is likened to," what? "Wise men who built his house on the rock." A wise man who built his house on the rock. Who's the wise man? Not the one who hears, because you find out that the foolish one also hears. It's the one who hears and what? Does them. Yeah. If he does them, then he's a wise man, built on the rock. And then it says, and the what? Rains descend, the rivers come, and the wind blows. Three things from three directions. Right? One is from the heavens, one is actually from the earth coming up, and the other one is in the air. And then it says, the foolish man, he is one who hears my word and does not do them. And what happens? He's like one who builds his house on the sand, right? The shaky ground. But the same things happen to everybody. And this is the point of this parable. Same thing happens. The same three things: the rain, the rivers, and the wind. And saints, these three things, the rain, the rivers, the wind, these represent things from God, things from man, and things from Satan, you know, who's the prince of the authority of the air, right? The winds. And so what this shows us, saints, is that we could hear the Lord's word. And actually, in the church life, we hear a lot of the Lord's word. We hear a lot of the Lord's word. And we need even more hearing of the word. We need more of the word. And we, during the week, we read the word. In our meetings, we speak the word and hear the word. And then we have special times like we'll have in April, that conference. We're inviting saints from all over, and we'll hear more of the word. But the question is, what do you do with what you hear? Right. What do we do with what we hear? If we do the word, which means practice the word, and the word that I want to use today is know how to apply. If we know how to apply the word in our daily life, then there'll be a certain result. What is that? A built-up house. The test will come regardless of how we hear and whether we do or not. The test will come. The test will come from God under his sovereignty. The test will come from man. You know, I was thinking about the rivers. You know, rivers are necessary, right? Actually, human society is built around rivers, right? Civilization was built around bodies of water. Actually, that's why New York City became such an important city in America, because of the bodies. We have the ocean, we have a deep bay, and we have also a deep river that goes all the way north to Canada. That this location is, you know, this real estate became what it is because of water. Yeah. And so we need the water. But sometimes the water rises and becomes too much. Like, remember Hurricane Sandy? Remember what happened in Manhattan? We had a storm surge of 14 feet. And actually, even till today, Roger, you work for Port Authority. Till today, MTA. Even till today, they're still repairing what happened in 2012. Is that right? I know the L line is shut because of that. That goes to Brooklyn, Queens local. It goes to Manhattan to Brooklyn. So it's water, necessary water, that eventually becomes too much. You know, our job is necessary. Our job is necessary. All the things of human life are necessary. But isn't it true sometimes waters rise and it gets to be too much? Having children is necessary. Oh, the first child, wonderful, everybody's happy. But the new moms realize very soon, oh, stop. You know, it became a little, it's too much for them. Yeah, you know about this, right? You know about this. Yeah, and then the water goes down, and then you have another one so fast. Oh, so the water comes up again. So what is this? This is a little test. A test of what? What do you do with what you heard? When the water's rising, when the baby doesn't stop crying at 1 a.m, you know, you don't think about the book of Numbers too much. You don't think about what I heard in the last training. You don't think about what was that I had for morning revival? What was that verse? No, you just react. You just react. Yeah, that's the time of the test. That's the time of the rain and also the rivers and also the wind. You know, sometimes the enemy does attack. Sometimes the enemy does attack personally or to our family, or to our group meeting, or to our church, even to the whole Lord's recovery. How do we respond at those times? At those times. You know, at the beginning of the fellowship on Numbers several weeks ago, when we were covering the first message, we looked at this point, and actually what I want to do is lead you to, in the recovery version, the book of Numbers, you know, one point, an element of our recovery version. I know the saints enjoy the footnotes a lot, but you know, more than besides the footnotes, the cross references, very rich in your study, to go from one verse through the cross reference to another verse, and even to look at the notes there and the cross references there, it could lead you to a wonderful study, just one cross reference. In addition to that, we have the outline that helps us to know the structure. But one important element is the subject of each book. Actually, that's a good way to know the Bible in summary. Memorize all the 66 subjects. Just go through, or at least be familiar with them. That's a good way to study and have a comprehensive view of the Word. But do you know the subject of the book of Numbers? Yeah, I'd like to read this to you. I think it'll ring a bell when I read this, because we covered this a few weeks ago. Christ is the meaning of life. Actually, 6 points. The meaning of life, the testimony, and the center of God's people. And the leader, the way, and the goal of their journey and fighting. Actually, maybe I'd like to write these on the board if we have. Is this all you have? Anyway, he is the meaning. The whole phrase is meaning of life, but I'll leave that implied. Christ is the testimony. Testimony. Christ is the center. And then he's also the leader, the way, and the goal. You know, these, actually it's a set of three and a set of three, but they're related. You know, these first three are really derived from this one verse, Numbers 2:2. Where it says that when Israel encamped and they set up the tabernacle, directions were given to every tribe where the 12 tribes would be. You couldn't choose. You couldn't choose. Oh, I like to be, no. Judah had to be there. Reuben, and plus two more. Reuben, there. Dan, there. Okay, each of the tribes. But after everyone set up, got their territory, every tent faced the tabernacle. That's a beautiful picture. That shows that the tabernacle, which was God's testimony, even called the tabernacle of the testimony, was the center and meaning of life of the children of Israel. For us, that means Christ and the church is our center. Christ and the church is our goal. We face the tabernacle.
Amen.
Yeah. But brothers and sisters, we will get tested whether or not that is true. We'll get tested. Christ is our testimony. But we have to check, is Christ our testimony? When we invite people to our home, what impression do they leave with? That's your testimony. If they're left with the impression merely of, wow, you have a nice house, Roger, I would be dissatisfied. I would be, if that was the impression. Or, wow, that Roger, he is such a smart brother. He really knows the Bible. Would you be satisfied? Wouldn't be satisfied. But if people leave refreshed that they got Christ ministered to them, it doesn't matter what you serve for dinner. People will leave happy. That's your testimony. And that will be tested. Because sometimes when we're together, we are tempted to go into other things, to speak other things. Sometimes, sorry, even gossip. Oh, what testimony do we leave with people on those days? You know, yesterday I was with some saints in New Jersey, in Piscataway, and I had a little fellowship, something along this line. And one sister, she gave this testimony. I don't think I'll ever forget this testimony. She said, I believe the family is pregnant. The baby's not born yet. And she said that they have a five-year plan, that they will live in this place until the child is school age. Then they already have their sights set on the best school district in that region, and they're going to make their arrangements to purchase a house there, and then they know where the best high school is, and so they have this plan. And I was speaking about this matter of the center, and that Christ is the leader and the way. And we follow, as Brother Ed mentioned, we follow the cloud. We follow the cloud. When the cloud moves, which means the Spirit, the triune God consummated as the Spirit, when He gives us a leading, we go that way, even if that's not the best school district. Now, of course, I'm not saying you don't have to think about and be concerned about your children's future. I'm not saying that. And the Lord does not overlook that. The Lord doesn't, not so lightly. But what is your leading? What is your leading? And some saints yesterday in this fellowship, they confessed, actually, my children's education has been my pillar. Not the Spirit. Not the cloud. Saints, we get tested. We get tested whether we know how to practice the word or not. You know, as Brother Ed was saying, can you imagine that picture? I've thought about this since I was in high school. The tabernacle, and the cloud comes and descends on the Holy of Holies. You know, at a certain time of the day, the cloud turns to fire. Wouldn't you like to see that at least one time? I've always thought, oh, I would like to be there just to witness that change. And then in the morning, get up early enough to see it change back. Marvelous. But you know, someone had to be on guard. There had to be watchmen day and night. Brothers, we would have to set up like a service group that you have 2 hours or 4 hours. You have 2 hours. And your only job is this: watch that cloud. If it moves, grab the trumpet. And it doesn't matter day or night. You don't say, oh, I don't want to disturb the saints. It's 4 a.m. And I don't know if the Lord would move at such an impractical time. I don't know. We have no record of that. But your job is, when that moves, blow the trumpet. Now, even if it's during the daytime, can you not imagine that, Brother Stephen, one day you would come home from work and just lying down, and you were going to take a nap. It's time to go. Sisters, you just put your child down. It's time to go. You know, sometimes we have to admit the leading in the church is not that convenient. It's not convenient. You know, we're having a conference in 4 weeks. In 4 weeks. Hospitality. Saints are coming from the Northeast churches. We need hospitality. Oh, you didn't know there was a conference and you had planned a trip somewhere. Oh, now there's a choice. What is the cloud leading in you? Is the cloud leading, well, maybe you go the following week and just stay for the conference? It could be. It could be. I tell you, saints, we will get tested. We'll get tested. Do we have the reality? Do we have the reality of Christ as our leader, as our way, and as our goal? There are so many tests in our daily life and in the church life. You know, saints, our brother Stephen made the announcement as the corporation, the legal part. We have to have this meeting because we are burdened to spread to Staten Island. And we want hall number 9 in Staten Island. And the brothers found a very nice place, very nice place. I actually saw it myself for the first time yesterday on my way to New Jersey. I didn't stop in to see it, but it's right on the service road, of the Staten Island Expressway. So as I was driving by, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Anyway, our point is where the Lord is moving in this direction. You know, saints, it might be good if a few families would migrate to Staten Island. Do we say migrate if it's in the same city? Yeah. Or we just say move. Yeah. It sounds gentler. Yeah. It sounds gentler. Sounds easier to do. Yeah. If I say migrate, you feel, oh, yeah. Don't go home. Tell your wife, oh, dear, we're migrating to Staten Island. But what if the Lord would lead? And what if you just closed on a house in Bayside? This is not practical. But if the cloud would lead, you have to consider. You have to consider. My point is, there will always be tests in our daily living. Are we following, really, the leading of the Spirit? And what is that leading of the Spirit? I would say, saints, to bring it to today's, the message that we're on this week, this is the dispensing of the triune God. In all of these situations, he wants to dispense himself into us. We've said so many times, my brother just repeated this morning, the matter of the Trinity, the matter of the triune God, is not for theological study or doctrinal debate. This is to show us in the scripture God's intense, deep desire that he wants to put himself, dispense himself into every part of our tripartite being. That is his desire. That is his goal. And that's what he's doing in your life and my life, Monday through Monday, every day of the week, every hour of the day, whether we realize it or not. That's what he's working on. That's his goal. That's his desire. So saints, all the little tests that we go through, if we would just open a little bit before the reaction, the Lord would have a way. The Lord would have a way. But I say, even we don't open, the Lord is still operating. The Lord is still operating to work himself into every fiber of our being. You know, it's as we were studying this week, it's really something. For example, these verses in 2 Corinthians and Ephesians. Whenever the triune God is revealed, it's in the setting of dispensing himself into us for experience. It's not presented as theological points. And especially, as our brother mentioned, in Ephesians. Ephesians, he's praying for the saints. He's praying to the Father. Paul is praying to the Father. And he's praying that the Spirit would operate, that the issue would be Christ makes his home in our heart. You could say he's praying to the first that the third would operate to make the second his home in our heart. The triune God is there. The triune God is there. And the important point is not to know all the points. The important point is to receive the dispensing. When the situation comes, we have this sense, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I do know this. I want you to make your home in my heart a little bit more through this situation. And sometimes, saints, all three come at the same time. Have you experienced that? I know you've experienced that in your life, maybe a number of times. The rain, because actually, everything is under the Lord's sovereignty. Everything is under the Lord's sovereignty. The rivers and the wind. You know, a year and a half ago, Puerto Rico, where my family comes from, experienced this kind of thing, all three, and the damage, even till today. No, haven't recovered and maybe never fully recover from what happened there. And that happens. There are things. But saints, even that, under the Lord's sovereignty, for the Lord to gain something, for the Lord to gain something, even in that situation. So may the Lord have mercy on us that as the things happen, he would accomplish his desire within all of us. That we would have the grace that all of these words would actually become our experience. I'm going to leave you with Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6, the verses that we read. This is for next week. I know I don't want to get ahead of myself. But here you see the, can you find those verses? Yeah, right there. Here you see again, this is the triune God revealed in the book of Numbers. Could we read the three verses together? This is a blessing. Actually, as you speak it, we can bless all those around us. Amen. And enjoy the blessing ourselves. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Amen. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So I came up with a song. I don't know if it's worth learning, but I'm going to sing it to you anyway. Just these verses, exactly according to the scripture. Don't add any words. And many of you know the tune. Yeah. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It fits, whether you like it or not, but it fits. Amen. The important thing is I like it. Amen. We'll try it. If you want to jump in, jump in. I think it's supposed to be like a lot higher, Ivy. It'll sound better. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Jehovah bless you and keep you. Amen. Jehovah make his shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. That's the blessing of the triune God. Amen. As the saints go to the language meetings, how about we sing again 602? 602. But just the first two verses and last two verses. The first two and last two verses, hymn 602. First two verses, last two verses. Amen.